Might actually help if I turn my mic on. Good evening. It's good to see everyone out. Got a great crowd out tonight. Looks like we're just getting bigger and bigger. Every time I get up here, it seems like we're adding a few more people. Those who are visiting in the audience, appreciate your presence. Welcome you here. Hope you can come back any chance that you get. Tonight's going to be just a little bit different than the norm. Back in August of 2017, Jordan Park here decided to take on some of the financial support of some people in the Philippines, some of the preachers in the Philippines. And we're going to look tonight at a little bit of the work that's been done since then. Now, just understand that what I'm showing here is a very, very small taste of all of the events that are actually going on. And I looked through these 4 years worth of emails and pictures and events and tried sifting through the reports to find, okay, what are the big high points? And I believe these are the high points that we'll be looking at tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." And I think that tonight we are really going to see that actively seen in the results here tonight. And this is pretty much all of the Philippine Islands. Sorry, I can't really look at that. It's a little too bright. Most everything that's going to be talked about is right in around that red dot. I asked Jansen what the name of this was before we started tonight, and just like that, I'm going to forget. I've called it DeVeo, but I know that's not it, is it? What he said, okay? What he said. So if I have to say that name again, just know that I'm mispronouncing it, and what he said is correct. All right, so we're going to look through about years 2018 to 2021. So the support here in the Philippines, as I said, Jordan Park began to support some preachers in August of 2017. And those preachers are Julie, who is the father, his sons, Joseph, Jonathan, and Joshua. And while this picture is up, I'm still going to be reading from what was on the previous slide. Ever since 2017, thousands, not hundreds, thousands, have been baptized and converted to Christ. And you're going to see some of the reasoning behind that as we go through some of these slides. Right in that area, the picture that we just saw, there are more than 500 churches of Christ in that southern island region. Okay, so a lot of these congregations are anywhere from, you know, about 20, maybe up to about 40 or 50. Transportation is not very easy along those areas, from what I'm told. And just getting from one place to the next can be very, very hard. So that's kind of why you have these little churches pretty much all over the place. There's also been a big push and a successful push in converting the Filipino rebels that are in that area. Now, I only have limited information on this, but from what I understand, the Filipino rebels in that particular area have been at war with the government for quite some time. And in one of the reports that I got, I've been getting reports from the Philippines dating back to before 2012. And in one of those reports, there was an account given where Julie had been approached by one of the government officials, and he told Julie, "Keep doing what you're doing. Keep preaching, because the preaching has been doing more for subverting this rebellion than what the government has been able to do since the rebellion started." You go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, what we just read. And so that's always encouraging to know. His oldest son is Joseph, his second son is Jonathan, and his third son is Joshua. And that's his wife and son there. This picture was taken, I'm not sure, about earlier this year or last year, I believe, somewhere around that timeline. And it was the only picture I could find of all of them together. All right, so we have, again, this is a picture a little bit more narrowed in into that that same city that Jansen said. So this is where a majority of the work that we're going to be looking at tonight takes place. Now, we're starting VBS next week, and so I thought it appropriate to maybe talk about a little bit of VBS that they do as well. Theirs is a little bit different from how we conduct ours. A lot of the children that actually come for VBS are displaced children, whether from the fighting that goes on between the government officials and rebels, citizens that have absolutely nothing to do with either side, really, are just displaced because of the fighting. Some of it has to do with natural disasters. Back in 2019, I believe it was November, they had a series of earthquakes. Could have been from displacement from natural disasters like that. Typhoons, they have those on occasion. This particular one, Julie reported that there were 129 children that attended. So here in the United States, you usually have a parent or guardian or someone along those lines that actually drives that individual to the location. Because of the terrain, because of the poverty, because of the lack of funding, things like that, individuals over in the Philippines actually pick up this tab and pay for the transportation to and from and the food while they're there at this vacation Bible school. They also provide study materials, notebooks, the pens, Bibles, and other materials at their own expense as well. Now, the materials that they utilize, they can't just go to Athens, to the Bible store there, and pick up material. They have to create and print their own, and that's what they use. During this VBS, there were 13 that were baptized. And the intention was to hold a VBS twice a year due to the interest. And of course, that's permitting that funds are available. There was actually one year where it had to be canceled. I'm not sure how long ago this was, but it was many years ago. But there was no funding to actually go through with a vacation Bible school. And so they had to go ahead and cancel that. I believe that there was one in December, not too long ago, that they had right around our Christmas New Year's time, and there was a lot of good teaching done there with that one. Here are some of the pictures of that vacation Bible school. You can see them all packed into this area, and you can see them. I wonder if this works. No, not on the screen. You can see, you know, taking notes, really paying attention, and really gathering a lot from what's being talked about. This is Julie over here on the left-hand side. He's talking and presenting things. And over here on the right is probably not all of them, but a good majority of the students that were there during this particular VBS period. And during this VBS period, there's something that Julie had in his report that I found very, very touching, so I wanted to put this up here on the board. Now, I've edited it just slightly because whenever we get the reports, kind of like when Jeff gets his report, sometimes you kind of have to transliterate a little bit to make the grammar correct. But it says, many congregations died when their preacher died. I encouraged the young people to do as much as they can do to study the Word of God, and encourage the young people to be faithful and help in preaching so that when their preacher dies, there are many who can help edify their brethren and their congregation will not die. Young people, and especially young men, that's a shout out to you right there. So just take note of that. All right, 2019, October 7th to 24th, these are some pictures that a friend of mine sent me, Jonathan Glazeman. Jonathan had 2 years' worth of preacher training at Lufkin, Texas, the Loop 287 Church of Christ. He studied for those 2 years under Jim McDonald and Kyle Campbell. Now, when I was stationed at Fort Polk in 2012 to 2014, June, July, one of those 2 months, White Park Church of Christ, whom I was a member of, actually hired Jonathan at with his first full-time preaching job there, and he was there for a couple of years before moving north to a congregation in Shreveport. But I've known Jonathan for about 10 years now, and he's always done very, very excellent work when it comes to his preaching. He currently is preaching at Pleasant Plains Church of Christ in Jackson, Tennessee. One other thing of note, he's also married to Cord's younger sister, Elizabeth. So there's a little bit of a connection there as well. Anyway, right before the earthquakes in 2019, Jonathan went there for a couple of weeks to meet some of the brethren that we had been supporting for these many years. And so he brought back his own report, sent me some pictures, and these are just a few of the many that he has of the trip that he took over in the Philippines. A lot of good work was done there, and there were many people that were converted and baptized. In the same area, fast forwarding a bit to the next year in July, here's a picture of about 37 people that are being baptized. Of course, the word is being preached in that area on a daily basis, and as people hear the word, as people are receptive to the message, they are becoming believers, and they're being baptized into Jesus, as you see here. The same area, same time, just a couple other different pictures. I mean, you see the lineup right here, and just going all the way down outside of even the picture frame. You might think, wow, this is highly unusual. Well, in this part of the world, actually, no, that's pretty common. We're going to see a few pictures to where the line is going to go outside of the picture frame. But there's a lot of good work being done here. Here's another picture of it, particular area where some of the people live. I'm not sure what that house is on there. Here's the church building in that particular area. And this is some of the work that's been done since the earthquakes hit in 2019. When the earthquakes hit in November of 2019, there was a lot of devastation all over the area. A little bit more of the devastation hit about northwest of here. That seemed to be where the majority of it was. But this is them rebuilding the church building that was damaged. All right, moving on to August 31st. This report comes again from Julie, the congregation in that same general area, different congregation, but still in the same area. You can see over there on the right-hand side that there were 9 baptisms from some work that was being done in that location as well. Let's move on to 2021 in March. All right, we're shifting a bit. We're going south-east. And in March, there was a lot of work done around this particular area. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the names. In fact, I was advised by Jansen not to, because I'm going to mess them up. This particular area, baptisms, no red. So on March 6th, Julie reported that there were 23 baptisms. And on March 8th and 20th, an additional 4 and 24. Again, like I said, there have been thousands that have been baptized ever since we started supporting them in 2017. You'll note here that in Julie's report, he said that they're averaging around 200 baptisms per month. Now, that's not just from Julie and his 3 sons. There are other preachers out there. In fact, there's a lot of them out there. A lot of them. And we'll see just how many there are about 3 or 4 slides from now. But there's a few others by name is Donicio Toll, Fernando, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, and Loretto Labe. Those are an additional 3, but those are only 3 out of the many that are out there preaching. So a lot of good work was done in that particular area. Now, shifting back up to where we were to start with. There was another vacation Bible school in 2021 around the early June timeframe. And on the second day of VBS, there were 2 that were baptized. I'm assuming that these 2 are siblings given their last name, but one was 12 and one was 13 years old. In addition to that, on June the 18th, there was a funeral for one of the Christians that had died. Now, just by piecing together little bits and pieces of various reports that I've read, their funerals are not quite like ours, where we, I guess, generally talk about the individual, talk about their life, and so on and so forth. They will do a little bit of that, from what I've gathered, but a majority of that is actually just doing regular preaching and using that time as an opportunity to reach out to people who are lost and to say, hey, we only have a short amount of time on this earth. You know, it could be you next. You need to repent. You need to get your life right with God. And so there were three that were baptized upon hearing the gospel preached at this particular Christian's funeral. Of course, we see more baptisms throughout the month in the amounts of 16, 39, 15, and 5. And again, just saying this particular part, but this is just from Julie. This isn't always including the ones that that his sons are converting or these other evangelists. Moving on to October 2021. Again, we have an additional 33 that were baptized on the 8th of October and two more the day after. A lot of the work that was reported to be done in this month was mainly benevolence work. People still trying to recover from 2 years ago from the earthquakes. There are other various kinds of hardships that are going on. People still trying to build their homes, get their lives back. There had been a couple more instances of a natural disaster on more of a less scale in between this time and the time when the earthquake occurred back in 2019. So a lot of, benevolence work was done. All right, moving on to this year, March of this year. We have various other baptisms. Okay, look at March 8th. I couldn't nail down an exact date of when that happened. It looked to be anywhere between about the 6th and the 10th, as best as I could gather. So I just kind of put something right in the middle there. But he reported that there were 7 conversions on that day as well. Look at March 22nd. I want to talk about this just for a moment. Julie had been in talks in biblical discussions with this individual for quite some time, and he finally converted him. Well, this individual also went back and converted his family, and I believe he also converted some of the congregation, or possibly even a lot of the congregation that he was a part of. And you might think, wow, this is something that might only happen once every century. Well, actually, this has happened before. Let's see. Trying to find out where I put those notes. Okay. There was a report that Julie had several years ago, I think in 2012, 2013. He had long in studies with a denominational preacher similar to how he had with this individual. Julie reported that he converted this preacher, and that particular preacher was well-paid and well-supported by the denominations here in the United States. But he gave all of that up for the truth. Gave all of that up. He was paid extremely well. Not only did this preacher convert and obey the gospel, he turned around and converted his entire congregation. And guess what? That congregation is still here these many years later. And they're still going very strong. Again, the power of the gospel is being seen in the Philippines. March 24th, there was a preacher training event that was held by Julie and his three sons. So these preacher training events are a little bit different from my understanding of what a preacher training event would be here in the United States. I guess usually an individual would be with an evangelist or two for, you know, a certain amount of time. Here it's kind of the other way around. Well, 104 of them, 104 preachers attended this training event. Now you know why I said there's a lot of conversions being done in this area and why there are so many churches in this area. There's 104 preachers. And as I said, Julie and his three sons led this. Now, this is going to be key in the next slide about these 104 preachers. Again, we have some conversions throughout that month, and there seems to be a focus on the rebel-held areas in this particular month. Now, because of what went on in the preacher training event and the focus on the rebel-held areas, that particular month is probably what transpired the next month. If you look on April 5th, there was a special preacher training event that took place, and kind of putting, you know, two pieces of information together, I gather that because of the emphasis placed, that there were some men from that preacher training event that wanted specifically to go to rebel-held areas and preach the gospel to them. And there were 25 people that attended that particular event. Of course, on April 9th, 15th, and 16th, there were 952 and additional three baptisms that took place. Those 52 were from a gospel meeting. If you kind of look at the pattern, you're going to see that usually it's gospel meetings where you have the biggest number of people that are converted. So that's mainly everything up to this point. And since we still have some time left, I want to go back and start looking at some of the work that has been done to the Philippines up until the year 2017, when Jordan Park started supporting these individual preachers. All right, over here on the left, we have some of the rebel leaders with their families attending a similar to a gospel meeting of sorts. What sometimes happens is an individual from the rebel group or maybe one of the rebel leaders will get some communication between one of the preachers. And this is usually after hearing over the radio some of the preaching being done. There's actually preaching that is done over the radio that is very specific to these rebels in these various areas. And so they met up with Julie, and perhaps one or two of his sons happened to be there at the same time. But the gospel was preached to them and to their families. And from this effort in March, specifically the 27th, there were 60 that were baptized. Now, what happens whenever these rebels are converted? So one of the reports that I had suggested that whenever these rebels are converted to Christianity, what will usually happen is they'll take their weapon, they'll bring themselves and their whole family, and they'll go to a government official, a soldier, something along those lines. And the deal that the government has with them is, you know, if you'll just give up, okay, we won't do anything to you. Turn in your weapon, turn in your everything like that, and we will give you farm supplies and equipment to go out and be able to provide for your own family. And that's the deal that the government has made with them. And that's exactly what they did. And so you can understand why now the government official approached Julie and said, hey, you're doing more to quell this rebellion than what the government forces have been able to do. This right here is a prime example as to why. Moving on to October of that same year, the congregation still around the same area. There's so many people that are wanting to hear the word that they're sitting outside, and so you can see just the hunger and the thirst that people have to hear the gospel. Here again is in June of 2014, the next year. Another gathering of some of the rebels with their families wanting to hear the gospel. And so Julie here is preaching with them. And on the left-hand picture, you probably can't even see it, but on the same side that my mic is on, he actually has a similar mic. Now, this mic that he has actually is directly connected from his mic all the way down with the, you know, like a jack cable to a speaker, so that way he can actually project his voice out a lot more, and that's what he's using to be able to talk to all of these people that are gathered around him. All right, same area, just over by the beach. So over by the beach, just from some of the pictures that I've seen and some of the research that I did, there's a lot of resorts around this area, there appears to be. So there are people that are just kind of going back and forth And it seems like they are just out there preaching the gospel to really anyone who will listen. And here's one of the series of baptisms that they had in the June time frame. You look at that line right there, they kind of compacted themselves in. But during the month of June, there was a total of 74 baptized right around this beach area. You can see, of course, over on the right-hand side, people in the background that kind of seem like they're doing their own thing, that they're there, you know, just enjoying themselves. But you've got some people gathered around. I believe that's one of Julie's sons, just to hear the message and to find out what they need to do to be saved. Okay. All right. The jail. So these two pictures come from the Diego City Jail. I probably messed that one up too. In December of 2016. All right, in a country like the Philippines, yeah, this is what your jail is going to look like. Okay, it's not going to be one where you have solitary confinement. If you want to know more about how these types of jails are, all you've got to do is just go to YouTube and kind of look up some of the worst prisons in the world, and they're going to be similar to this right here. Now, some preaching that Julie did while he was actually inside of the prison. He's not always allowed to come inside of the prison. And in fact, he actually wrote about this particular occurrence here. He said, many times during our preaching, jailed, and forgive the grammar, I'm just reading directly off of what he wrote. Many times during our preaching, jailed persons cried and repented of their sins after they heard the word of God. Many times we are allowed by the jail personnel to baptize those who want to be baptized. One time, the jail personnel allowed me to baptize 48 jailed persons, which is, here, take you there to the next slide, which is from those pictures right there. There was another time, let's see, sorry, I lost my place. Baptized 48 jailed persons, but some jailed persons were not allowed to get out of their cell. Could possibly be because they were more dangerous criminals. Who knows? I was allowed to go inside their cell to baptize him. So this is kind of in the courtyard. He was actually allowed by the staff to go inside of their cell because they wouldn't let that criminal out. But most of the times, the jailed persons were allowed to get out from their cell, and I baptized them inside the jail compound in their basketball court, which is, I guess, where that's at. We brought a big drum and water, but it is very expensive because the whole jail, all of the jail personnel and guards are on red alert. And so we give food and snacks to the jail guards and their personnel while they are on red alert. A day before the baptism, they are already on red alert until we finish the baptism and they are sent back to the cells, those who are baptized. Okay, let me translate a little bit about what's going on here. So he's not bribing them with food or anything like that. That's not what's going on here. It's actually a fairly common practice for Julia or whoever to actually support the jail personnel whenever they need to go to a place in which they would need to be guarded. There's been other instances of this happening outside of a jail where Julie has had to ask, hey, soldiers of the Filipino army, can you come with me to X area and, you know, just kind of protect us while we're doing our missionary work in a particular area. And sometimes they will actually do that. But in order to do that, they have to pay them in some means, maybe monetary, it may be they have to feed them or something along those lines. So this is, I guess it would be a somewhat common practice. But anyway, you can see over on the bottom right-hand side, just the prisoners that are lining up and they're wanting to be baptized. The top left-hand one, yes, he got them all the way down. So, but you know that right there. That's just a great sight to see. Where you see Julie, he's the one with his hand raised, You'll notice he has a badge here, but also this individual here as well is one of the people that came with Julie. I don't think there's any pictures of the guards in there, at least not that I could make out. All right, again, just some other pictures of the same event happening. Was that it? I had more. Okay, maybe not. Actually, on my slide here, I've actually got two more. Hey, don't worry about it. It's fine. The next one, there were only two other slides. I'll just kind of describe them to you. The next one was a picture of one of these instances where Julie was actually not allowed to be inside of the prison. If you saw in the background those walls, there's another prison in that area that has almost, it looks like a white picket fence, almost, it's just really tall. Julie and the people that came with him to actually preach, they had to be standing on the outside of that. Okay, you could actually reach through that picket fence and touch the prisoner on the other side, but they had to stay on that side. And that particular slide that I must have accidentally deleted, they didn't have permission to actually get inside of the prison. And so the prisoners are listening, and they're right up there next to the gate, just listening to the word being taught. And so this is basically a summation of the work that has been done over in the Philippines. And I thought it would just be a really great thing and a measure of encouragement for this congregation to know that the support that you all are giving to these preachers over there is producing extravagant results. It's producing just a whole lot of fruit. And you know what? We're taking part in the growth of the kingdom of God, maybe in another part of the world. But you know what? I've always wondered what it would be like when we get to heaven to run into one of these Christians and to, you know, maybe have a conversation with one of them at some point and come to a realization, you know, something along the lines of, hey, you know, I became a Christian because you supported the individual that taught me. You just wonder how that conversation would go if either one of you were able to speak after realizing that, and just that bond that's there, even though, you know, we're literally around the world apart. Luke 15, verse 10 says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." I'll tell you, there's been a whole lot of rejoicing going on over there in the Philippines. And guess what else? If you're not a Christian tonight and you make that decision to become a child of God, there's going to be just as much rejoicing for you this night as what there are for those over in the Philippines. So I would ask you, that if you have not put Jesus Christ on in baptism, don't wait. Take an example from these Christians over in the Philippines. Many of them are hearing the gospel for the first time. And just like on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they are being baptized the same day. And they are dedicated individuals, dedicated Christians. And I'm going to tell you how dedicated some of these people are. One of the reports that I read many years ago talked about a husband and wife couple that had been able to pick up some of the preaching that was intended to be addressed toward the rebels. They weren't one of the rebels, but they had picked this up, and they were told, hey, this is the location of where we're at if you want to come hear more. That husband and wife team traveled an entire day and a half just to go meet with those brethren. By the time they got there, their clothing was described as not being appropriate, just because it had been shredded and torn by the journey they took on foot through the rough terrain of the southern Philippines. I'm sure Jansen can tell you a little bit about the terrain that's over there a little bit. It's rough in a lot of places. What infrastructure they do have for transportation normally gets almost wiped out whenever a natural disaster comes through. But they traveled a day and a half to hear the word of the Lord. And they were baptized that same day. Take a lesson from that right there. The power of the gospel is sharp. So, if you need to make your life right with God, don't wait any longer. Make your life right with God tonight and become a child of His while we stand and sing the invitation song.